Thanks for putting up with us, you know. Thank you, Lord. How many of y'all know we're in the last days? Well, if we're in the last days, then there's last day witnesses. How many of y'all know you're a last day witness? And many more. Last day witnesses. I didn't say Jehovah Witnesses. I said last day witnesses. Amen? Turn to Matthew 24, please. Verse 3. We've heard this multiple times, and we're going to probably continue to hear this until it's totally completed and fulfilled. Verse 3, let's speak it together. As Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age of grace." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Is that happening now? Yeah. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Is that happening now? Yes. "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not near, not yet." So all of these things have got to come to pass. They've got to escalate. "For nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places." Are these happening now? Yes. All these are the beginning of sorrows, or what we call birth pangs. Why? Because something's about to birth, which is brand new. So nothing can come new until old is done. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. They will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Is that happening now? Yes. You know, most people don't really understand that there are Christians being slaughtered globally. But the news doesn't tell you all these things. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of money, or love of many, will grow cold." Unfortunately, the love of money will never grow cold. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So we see the beginning of birth pangs is, in other words, there's got to be the beginning of the birth pangs to birth something new. So we call it the beginning of sorrows. Then we go into tribulation. Then we go into great tribulation. And listen, there are seals that have already been broken. I'm not going to say we're in tribulation because I'm not sure. But I know that seals can be broken without being in tribulation. So everybody understand it, because tribulation is, there's 3.5 years and then another 3.5 years of great tribulation. We are not accounted for great tribulation. I really believe the body of Christ will be taken from the earth in between after the first 3.5 years. But we see right now that there's wars and rumors of wars, there's famines, there's pestilence, earthquakes, there's betrayal, there's hatred, there's false media, there's false prophets, and many have grown cold in love. This is end time sign and wonder of witness of what time and season we're in. Matthew 17 and verse 1. It says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves." Now, one day with the Lord is equal to how many years? 1,000. So this is saying after 6,000 years. Does everybody understand it? Are we past 6,000 years? Yes. Does everybody get it? And it says that he was transfigured before them, his face transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as snow, as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Now Moses and Elijah, God's sons, two by two, well, these were witnesses. Does everybody understand it? And these will be the two witnesses that show up in tribulation. And they appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, again, Moses and Elijah will be the two witnesses. Moses represents, in the rapture, the dead that will be raised. Elijah represents those who are alive and will be taken. They'll be known as the two wings and the two anointed ones. So Moses and Elijah are the two witnesses. You know who the two witnesses are right now? Trump and Elon Musk. They are the two witnesses right now before the other witnesses show up. What are they doing? They're exposing evil all over the place, aren't they? They're bringing light where darkness has been. They're chasing and rooting out evil. They are the two political witnesses. Does everybody understand that? When their time comes to an end, other witnesses will take their place. We don't know how long. This could be a year. It could be a 2 year. It could be a short season. But after they've completed what God has asked them to complete, the body of Christ and the two witnesses will begin to take over soon. Is everybody okay? Don't freak out. You know, when you tell people things are closing in and time is shortening up, they begin to think, well, man, there's a lot of things I need to do before I go to heaven. Believe me, when you get to heaven, you could care less anything about her. In John chapter 1, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a what? A witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of what? But of what? But of God, born of God. Born out of this reality. We were born again from another reality. That's why we see things different. We hear things different. Our purpose is different. Our reality is different. We are the witnesses of the light. Amen. And Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in the troublesome times. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be what? Cut off, or what we call crucified. But not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for what? 1 week or what? 7 years. So we haven't seen a covenant confirmed yet, have we? There's no covenant. Eventually, there's going to be a covenant of peace, most likely with Palestine and another nation, Israel. That could be the covenant. Who puts the covenant together will be the Antichrist. Now, some people may start it, but whoever puts it together. Now, there may be a group of people that are involved in it, and one of them breaks the covenant. That will show himself as a sign of the Antichrist. But in the middle of the week, he shall break and bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. That's breaking covenant. And on the wing of abomination shall be the one who makes desolate. Even into the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So we see here again the covenant of 7 years. Okay, so you've got 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of great tribulation. That means that in that 7 year covenant, there'll be the seven, that's the 7 year tribulation. In the middle of that tribulation, most likely, will be the rapture. Because again, we are not counted for the great tribulation, which is known as the wrath of God. Nobody escapes that. So in tribulation, you may not even know we're in tribulation. We're going to see things, hear things, which we have. I mean, heck, Obama and Biden, you could have considered being in tribulation during that period of time, the way they were. I mean, you know, you think about how that was. But again, we're in a time of plenty. Why? Because there's got to be more people reached. There's too many people not saved yet. There's too many people not awakened yet. And it's going to take a release of the anointing and a release of financial support to be able to reach and to bring the anointing to many people. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord can't start transporting people, because he can. He may just say, I want you to go here. He may visit somebody in a dream and say, next thing you know, you're in another location. I know people that he has visited multiple times, and he has said to them, go to the airport. And they packed and went to the airport with one bag, and they waited. And somebody walked up to them and said, here's a ticket. You're supposed to go here. And then they got there, and somebody else met them, and so forth. Why? Because there's nothing impossible with him. Amen. Now we know again, for the Jews, the end time of the return of the Messiah is to build the third temple. But that is not our significance, because we are the third temple. But for the Jews, the third temple must be built to recognize that the Messiah is coming. So they are building, preparing. And they even have the red heifer for sacrifices, which will be what we just spoke about. They'll stop the sacrifices, because they'll go to the tradition, the old tradition of sacrificing animals to cleanse, because some of them are still according to the Moses law. Not all of them are freed yet. But when the Antichrist goes in there and claims himself as God, they're going to realize something's up. Amen. Revelation 11, verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship here. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they shall tread the holy city underfoot for what? 42 months, which is what? 3.5 years. And I will give power to my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before God of earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. Who had the power to do that? Elijah. And they have power over water, so turn them to blood. Who had power over that? Moses. And to strike the earth with all plagues and as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. Is God allowing this to happen? Yes. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. Wow, no coincidence, is it? And not allow their bodies to be put into the grave. So they're going to make their bodies lay out there for 3.5 days instead of doing the right thing. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, making merry and sending gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Why did they torment them? Because they told them the truth. Now, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those who saw them. I truly believe that the breath of God will enter the body of Christ during this period of time. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. I really believe that this is known as the rapture. This is just my opinion. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, even 7,000 people who were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. The two witnesses. Again, God always sends out two by two. But why were they there? They were there because they were there in Israel. They were there in Jerusalem to minister to the Jewish people. But they will be seen televised globally because of the technology that has increased. And they will try to kill them, and they can't. And they will continue to destroy things that are trying to kill them, turning the water into blood and holding up the heavens and so forth and burning crops and whatever they need to do to get people's attention till they repent. But they didn't repent. Many of them got angry and cursed God instead of repenting and turning from their way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And they have a form of godliness but denying his power, and from such people turn away. For these are the sort that creep into households and make captives of gullible men and women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts or desires and wants. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. You know, one of the things about lust, it's always not just a perverse thing. Lust is an area where people are desiring things. Always want. Now, Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all as theirs also was. Again, we are witnesses of these last day events, driving out these evil positions. That's what's happening right now. That's why the other two witnesses, Trump and Musk, are getting the information, infiltrating places that we couldn't infiltrate. Getting the information of things that we didn't have before. Things are being more and more exposed like never before. This earth has never seen what's happening. Never. Not like this. The world is turning around. It's turning upside down. It's being shaken and quaking. God is exposing and removing and resetting and putting the servants in place. Look at all these judges that are trying to stop Trump. They don't have the authority to do it. They're unqualified. They're playing in an unconstitutional game. They have no right, especially during wartime, because this is wartime. They have no right to interfere with the orders of the President of the United States. I hope they all go to jail because they're nothing but blue heads. Now, there's something I want to let you know that we've got to come out of the area of how we feel. Well, I don't feel like a witness. I don't look like a witness. I don't think I'm ready to be a witness. It's not about you. Does everybody understand that? God can use anyone at any time, anywhere. The Spirit of the Lord can take possession of you quickly and speak through you, touch through you, heal through you, cast out a devil through you. There isn't anything he can't do. It may just happen unexpectedly. Next thing you know is, man, I can't believe that just happened to me. Been in circumstances or places and you just didn't realize. Listen, when God wants your attention, he'll get it. If you're willing to stay filled with the Spirit of God. Because the reason why people miss what God is trying to do is because they're not filled with the Spirit of God. Only those who are filled with the Spirit of God can comprehend and connect the deep things of God. Amen? In Malachi chapter 3, glory to God, in verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer the Lord to the Lord an offering in what? In righteousness. I love it. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come nearer you for judgment. I will be swift. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers. Is that happening? Yeah. Against adulterers. Look at, they're all being exposed, aren't they? Perjurers, extortioners, liars, thieves, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts, because they do not fear him. You know, people are getting busted. This is pretty amazing. They're on the internet boasting of how much money they're getting from the government through welfare and stuff like that. And then they're complaining because they got busted. I mean, there was one woman that was getting like $10,000 a month or something like that. It was ridiculous. And then she complained that she lost her money. Well, she was on there boasting that she was getting so much money from them. But, you know, dead people are receiving a check. Well, somebody's getting that check. But again, they're finding out that Social Security's been overpaying $2 billion. That's a lot of money. That's probably a month. I mean, it's a lot of money that goes out. Trillions of dollars come out of this country. But God's going to turn this country around. And one of the ways he's going to turn this country around is to root out the money, the corrupt money. That's how he's going to change it around. You know, gold and silver is going to max out here shortly. You're going to start to go fly sky high. You know, gold is near, what, $3,000 an ounce, something like that? Heck, I remember it was $1,400 an ounce and $1,200 an ounce. Silver was $15 an ounce. Now it's $30 an ounce or $34 an ounce. But what's happening right now is the banks are printing money with no value to buy down the silver. So they're ordering all of this silver that they can't provide, they can't supply. People are ordering all of the silver. So once the money is stopped, they can't print no more money, what's going to happen? They got to fulfill those orders. They're going to collapse. The stock market will collapse. I'm not saying it's going to be wiped away. It will collapse. The economy, currency will collapse. And a new currency and a new value will be brought in. There'll be no more Federal Reserve because they're the corrupt. That will be wiped out. Everything will be done through digital treasury. The treasury will become backed by gold and silver. That's why they're cleaning it all out. Listen, it doesn't matter whether there's any gold in Fort Knox or not. Why? Because the United States has more gold in its soil than anywhere in the world. People don't realize how wealthy this country really is. This country will become great. It will have the strongest army in the world. It will have the richest. Look at, he's bringing over, look at Hyundai's coming over with $500 billion and starting building factories. Why? Because of the tariffs that he's putting in place. Now people are saying, well, you know, I'm not going to pay that. I'd rather just build them right from there, and then we can hire American people. And there's other countries that are making commitments of $100 billion, $200, $500 billion. I'm telling you, things are going to explode tremendously as more and more evil is exposed. You know, there's always that old saying, follow the money. Where is it ending up? Look at all these corrupt. I mean, come on, let's be real about these politicians that are making $150,000, $250,000 a year, and they're now worth $30, $40, $50 million. That's impossible unless they're getting kickbacks. $150 million, $200, half a billion. Look at all the money Obama's worth. Antichrist right hand. All of this stuff. And they're all going to be exposed. Everything is going to be exposed. Every one of these kickbacks will be exposed. People will go to prison. There are people in Guantanamo right now that are squealing like Tweety Bird because they don't want to be executed. They're willing to accept life in prison instead of execution for treason. These judges that are, what they're doing, are committing treasonous acts. See, they don't get, they think they, that because they've had it covered all of these years and whatever, that nothing, wait. Wait and see what's going to happen. But the United States will become great again. It'll be the most richest country and the most powerful country, and it'll be the most feared country in the world. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. But I'm going to tell you that there's going to be storms on the way getting there. And nothing comes without a fight. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness as a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contempt is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. But you, O man and woman of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of on eternal life, to which we were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and the only Pontiff and King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. The love of money is going to be rooted out. All those that have fallen into the love of money will be rooted out. You know, there's nothing wrong with having money, but not when it becomes a god. Not when it becomes an idol. You should never fear losing money. If you fear about losing money, then you love money. Does everybody understand that? Never fear losing money. Why? Because God restores everything. He restores. Now, we want to be wise stewards. Amen. So we want to invest in the things that are right, that are profitable. It's our responsibility to search out things. But never fear of losing money. Because that reveals that you love money. We don't want to lose the money because we're supposed to be good stewards of God's money. Amen. So that's a reverence to God about what we do. Does everybody understand? Praise God. James chapter 5. So that's what's happening right now. God is rooting out all the lovers of money. James chapter 5 and verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived in the on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the just. He gives not. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. And we know that that early and latter rain is coming. There's going to be a release of the early and latter rain in the second mantle. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with anyone's other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Ooh. Praise the Lord. Matthew 18, 18. Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. I want you to understand that the keys of binding and loosening are also witnesses. They are weapons of witness. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they speak, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So is Trump and Musk agreeing on what they're saying? Then it's going to be done. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So if God be for them, who can be against them? Amen. It's happening. Again, Trump and Elon Musk are two modern-day witnesses against the modern-day Pharisees. We are in the last day. We are the last-day witnesses of all things. And the book of Jude, verse 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. They have mouth, great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, which means tongues, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but on others with fear, pulling them out of fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever and ever and ever, executing judgment of God, exposing his executing judgment. And I'm going to close at Psalm 37, starting at verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evil shall be cut off, evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. In other words, going to be exposed and removed. Indeed, you will look for carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are up of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the metals, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good. Dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be what? Cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it for when? Forever. This is a promise of God for me and you. They're going to be cut off. They're going to be exposed. And everything will be turned over to us. Why? Because the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And it will come. What a time to be alive and to see what's going on. We were chosen for this moment and this time. You didn't choose it. He chose it. Praise God. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for preparation. We thank you for what you're getting ready to do. And we thank you, Lord, that we are end time warriors, third dimensional warriors, and last day witnesses, so that your name can be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.